Well, thank you, Lord, for this great day. I want to welcome everyone that's viewing with us today. I have a dear friend of mine, a man of wisdom and insight, the one and only Steve Bland, and we're serving the one and only true and living God.
Amen.
And Christ. And so glad you were able to join me today, Steve. I want to welcome everyone to dip into the well that we're believing God's going to give us to drink out of today.
Yeah.
We're here to pull on heaven. What that means is we declare, according to the word of the Lord, that those things from above will be brought down into the earth. And what things is that? The glory of God. I believe with all my heart that, because the word says, every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning. And what that means is what heaven holds, we get to have. So today, welcome.
And
thanks for joining us for another edition. Thank you of Pulling on Heaven. And how are you today, Steve?
I'm fantastic. I'm excited to be here. Thanks so much again for having me on with you. It's such an honor to be on with you. And I just love talking about God with you and going into like deep places. There's not a whole lot of people I get to have those kind of conversations with. So it's really cool.
You know what I believe? I believe that if we believe, according to our faith, God will do, God will perform. And if we believe we can know him in ways that we've never known him before, we'll know him in ways we've never known him before. How can you reach the end of God? I mean, how can you even touch the beginning? God is so great. God is so good. And you know what I feel that I am? I'm a worshiper. I love to worship God and talk about how great he is and how good he is. You can get involved in so many negative aspects of the world, and it's kind of what window do you want to look out of? You know, you drive down the road, and there you see an accident at the side of the road. I think it's a natural tendency, and there's that word natural, or could it maybe even be carnal, to look at the accident and create another one. And it's best to keep your eyes on the road, and that's actually happened numerous times. It'd be an accident, and just right down the road or right beside the accident you're watching, you end up becoming part of that accident. So it's so much better, as the word says, what things soever are lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, if there's honorable, think on these things and live that kind of a life and look out of that kind of a window and see what great things God will do. And it's always going to be something great because this is the greatest season of our lives.
Amen. It makes me think you were talking recently, the similar idea of the looking at the car accident and causing a car accident. That's pretty amazing. Because you were talking a couple weeks ago, I think, in service about, you know, a lot of times as believers, looking around, and when you spend your time identifying everything that's ugly in the world, you know, it's hard to look at something or say something's ugly without yourself becoming ugly, and you know, the face that you make, or with a bad smell, or something like that, and that so that the church inevitably goes throughout the world looking just as ugly as whatever else is actually ugly there, instead of being the difference that we get to be.
Yeah, that's true, and I think one of the reasons that happens is because there seems to be this sense of obligation in the body of Christ sometimes, or maybe far too often, that if there's that ugly and that evil, you know, it's a power that is resisting the blessing of the Lord, and we have to take it down. And that really causes us to engage, causes people to engage with an attitude, look out a window that we were never called or designed to look out of. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of when the disciples came to Jesus and said, "We are excited because demons are subject to us at your name." And he says this, and this has always moved me and helped me to think in a God direction instead of an evil or devil direction. He said, "Don't rejoice because spirits are subject to you." And I see it like, of course they are. You're walking in my identity. It's like turning on the light, of course the darkness is going to flee from you. And he said, don't talk about, don't get involved with that they're subject to you. But he said, rejoice. Don't rejoice because of that. Rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is saying, hey, don't rejoice whether evil seems to be present or it's running from you. Because if you walk in the light that you are, if you're mindful of the good that I am, that's what you'll exude. That's what will take precedence over a situation. There's your victory. And I think sometimes people feel that obligation to have to fight, and then they end up looking at the evil and how evil this is, and how, and not trying to be evil or negative-minded, but at the same time becoming the very image or the very picture of what they're despising and what they are afraid of or fighting against. And it's kind of like walking around in a dark room and talking about how dark it is. It's so dark in here. I can't see anything. You know, I can't find my way. Well, just turn on the light. So again, what things soever are lovely, good, if there be any virtue, be any praise, think on these things. We're not ignoring the elephant in the room. What you're doing is taking dominion over him. So it's submissive to the will of God. God's will reigns and rules.
It's like you could be angry that the room is dark, but what good is that going to do?
It doesn't help you do what you want. Well, no. What do you want to do? You want to be able to see where you're going and see where things are.
So. Yeah, I think the church so much today, you know, looks at the world and gets upset and angry at the world as if they did something to the church. Or it's like even the world, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden and said, go out and take dominion of this world, it was like, here's a world that needs taking dominion over. It wasn't like they were there and then something came and surprised God. It says, I'm putting you in a situation that's going to require you to walk this out by faith and shape it into my image. And to be upset that God put you in that, or not be surprised that God put us in a world like that, but to go, oh, this is my calling, to look at this world, to love it the way Jesus did, and because of that love, bring that light.
Now, see, we can go down that track right now. I know we have some other things that
let's go there. Let's talk about some other stuff.
Kind of organically happened here. You said something about love a couple of Sundays ago. You opened a Sunday service, and you said something about love that just really impacted me in a huge way. And you just said it again in a little different version of what you had said Sunday. If we love the world that God has made, then we could make the difference that we'd love to see. I mean, I know you didn't say it exactly like that, but what I heard you say.
That's the heart of it, absolutely.
So we think about the world, and what you said, you just said, it's not like God created this perfect world and then something went awry. God created the world in the fashion that he did. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let him have dominion. So there was something in the genesis of time God wanted mankind, men and women, to do. He wanted them to take dominion over a world that was perfect, because God, the word says, God looked at it when he had finished, and he said, that's very good. And then he did one thing more. He blessed what he made. Now, God isn't going to bless something that's wrong.
Right.
So he blessed this world that required taking dominion over. And we can talk about that a little more, but I want to go back to the dominion or love thing.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to expound on what you said, because it really impacted me the way it came out of you.
Well, and I think one of the statements that I made when I got to open the service is like, Jesus looked at the world, God looked at the world that was all screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, in the fullness before he came as a baby.
When they had plenty of time to really make a mess of
things. Really make a mess of it. Yeah. Here's this world, people living in sin, people disregarding, people following idols, other gods, everything.
A lot more than just two.
Just a lot more than just two, the whole world. Yeah. Really no different than it is today.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the world's been the same in that regard. And Jesus said, look at all these people that rightly by the holiness and righteousness of God should be punished, should just all be thrown into the fire, flood them all, get rid of them. Let's destroy all these things that are making God's wonderful planet bad. Right? And Jesus, God's response to it through Jesus was, I'm going to come down here and I'm not going to hold you accountable for your sins. And it talks about it in lots of scriptures about he didn't hold them accountable. He didn't reckon that unto them, you know? And what he said is like, you know what? I'm going to pay the price. You deserve the punishment, but I'm going to take it on. And I'm going to show my love to you in the midst of your worst form of disobedience. And through that, that's what's going to transform you. Okay. And so, but I think today and since then, the church, for the most part, the reason the world is the way it is, I think, is not because of anything of the darkness of the world, is because the church has not manifest Christ the way that we were meant to, because the church looks at the world, the same world in the same situation that Jesus did, and says, you're terrible, and I need to rail against you. I need to fight against you. I need to find out how I can stop you from doing this, and I need to attack you and put you down and make you feel unworthy and let you know how upset God is with you, and which is the exact opposite of how God himself did it. And it's that love. It's the, you know, scripture says it's his love that leads us to repentance. Mm. And so it's not a, and I think a lot of times we can think about it and think that we are condoning sin, or we are condoning a lifestyle that's not God, or condoning evil. But that's not what Jesus did. No. He wasn't condoning it. He was saying, the only way you're going to ever move beyond it is if I take it from you. And the only way anyone's going to let him take it from us is if we know him in his fullness and his love that he has for us. And I think so much of what a lot of the church has done representing the world is that they don't know that God loves them. If they're going to believe that there's a God, it's a God that hates them and is angry with them and is upset with them. And that's where that difference comes, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, in saying that, people will say, well, I mean, I know God loves me, but there's that sense of guilt because of what we did. And again, it's looking at the wreck of the road. You may end up becoming part of that if you don't keep your eyes on the road. And, you know, you have officers kind of like representing in this scenario, representing the word, saying,
metaphor.
Go, you know, look, not here, over there. But you have all these lights and this mess and smoke, sometimes fire. We just experienced that not long ago. There's this fire and we're thinking, why is traffic slowing down? What's going on? It's not because someone had an accident in their lane. Yeah. It's because over on the other side of the freeway, someone had an accident and everybody's slowing down, creating a traffic jam, slowing the movement down because there's an accident on the other side of the road. And then how many times have you driven down a road in that scenario and there's an accident now in your lane because you were looking at that? Same thing with nature, the sin nature. And that's why it's so important, because you think about the love of God. It's a mind of God. It's how God is. It's who he is. And what changes our lives when we get born again? It isn't looking at what we've done and going, man, what a mess I was. And of course, all have sinned. Everyone has sinned. Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. But what was Christ's response to that? I don't hold you accountable. I don't hold it against you. I don't condemn you. At one point, they're telling Jesus, this woman is caught, you know, in the act of adultery, and he says, listen, I don't condemn you. And he says, anyone here that is without sin, you go ahead and condemn her if you're that righteous.
Yeah.
And here is righteousness right here. But righteousness doesn't condemn. Righteousness points in the direction of love. And God is love. And when you take on that mind, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, what did he do? He humbled himself to the will of God. What is the will of God? It's love. And then guess what? Instead of wanting to do the things you shouldn't be doing, you by nature, you organically begin to want to emulate God. It's not a war. It's not me, because if it is, then why couldn't we just pay for our own sin? But it's us receiving the nature of who Christ is. The word said he came in the fullness of the deity, the power of God. And what did he demonstrate? Love. So if that power changes you, it changes me when we accept it. What kind of an impact would we make on the world if we stop looking at all the wrecks? We're not burying our head in the sand. We're not ignoring the elephant in the room. We're taking dominion over it, and we're making sure the traffic keeps moving in the right direction so we can get to the point or the place we're supposed to go.
Because in the analogy, really, the church has been the biggest stoppers of the traffic, the biggest to look at that accident. And it's one thing if you're going to look at the accident, if you're going to go help, if you're going to go actually help someone in the accident. But if you're just going to sit there and go that, I think it's actually a pretty fun metaphor, because if you think about the progress of the world, and you always talk about, you know, time is an event, not a just passing of hours, minutes, seconds. And you look at the world and, you know, certainly there's been technological advancements and all that, but in terms of how much the world has truly changed since Christ till now, and there's been a lot of good stuff, but I mean, how much further could we be if we weren't stuck in this traffic jam of looking at the bad of the world versus celebrating who he is and letting everybody know how much he is loved by them?
Yes and amen on the largest scale you could imagine. That really is the answer. And here's something else. And I think this is where people get caught. It's easy to fall into the trap of being able to dialogue about something everyone is afraid of or has made the front page, as it were. Mm-hmm. Okay, because you really don't have to dig. You can just kind of engage. If there's a problem and everyone knows about it, you can just kind of put your spin on it. Or you can just kind of jump in that pool with everyone. Yeah. But it takes a different kind of seek me, and you will find me. It takes going a different place to look at something from a different angle, and especially when the angle is promotional to the answer. Yeah. So if you stop for a minute and you say, I hear that, I don't want to be engaged. It's kind of like Paul said, I don't want to just go and preach where Christ has already preached and do what someone else is doing. You don't need me to do that. Let's do something that's still necessary, but everyone hasn't jumped on the bandwagon to do the same thing. So I think it becomes very, very easy to just, it's kind of like football, baseball, you know, someone's talking about and then someone jumps in with their opinion and, you know, I'm the guy out there standing there scratching my head because I'm not a real, you know, sports are great, but I've just never really followed them. So I don't know who's making how much and how involved and, you know, how many home runs and, you know, how many whatever touchdowns or where they are. To me, it's another language. But at the same time, if you can bring up something that has value, I mean, I've seen a lot of people, maybe you have to, their whole day's ruined because their team lost.
Right.
And maybe, what if you came into that scenario and said, guys, the entertainment value there is fine, as long as you're enjoying and you can step away saying, wait, this isn't my life.
Yeah.
I have a life to live of my own. There's something valuable. And you say or do something that just elevates that room. I mean, it's the same thing with Christ. There's a lot of accidents around, but what are we going to do about it that makes a difference and doesn't just make us part of the ongoing conversation about the problem that just elevates that, mm-hmm. you know, kind of keep throwing gas on the fire so we can watch the flames. No, it doesn't change anything. And it doesn't make anything different. It just elevates the negative, but it doesn't empower the pulse of being able to move forward. And that's what we want to do. Because the Word said, God says, I want to do, the Word says God is willing, he wants to, he will do exceedingly, abundantly and beyond all you even know to ask for or think about. So if we can pull ourselves away and say, I'm going to do what God said, what things soever are lovely, good, let's look out of a lens of love, the way God loves. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let's just get up in the morning and let's just start from the perspective. That's why I say every day, I love to give it up every day when I get up and say something really great is going to happen today. Because God is great, and he's greatly with me. And regardless of what takes place that day, the platform, the foundation that I've set, I can build on. As opposed to if you get up in the morning and say, well, I wonder if it's gotten any better out there. Is a political world and, you know, so-and-so, what's happening, you know, has the fire, you know, subsided? I mean, call for the rain. Pray that God, let your mind, because the perspective of faith, that prophetic perspective is the only thing that's going to change. What changed my world was that I surrendered to his, and I didn't try to fix mine. And the more that I did early on, because early on I did, you know, tomorrow it's going to be a little bit better because I'm going to try a little bit harder. And it just seemed like the more I thought about it that way, the worse it got.
Never enough.
It's never enough. And it's just like hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of a man or woman are never satisfied. We can never get enough. We can never do enough. But when your mind is set on God so loved me, what did he love about me? There has to be some divine purpose. Let me look through that window. Something great is going to happen today. I'm going to love the world, not the worldly, but the people as well. I'm going to love the people like Jesus did. I'm going to love the world. Yeah. And today, I'm going to commit. I'm going to fast the negative, and I'm going to dine on the word of God, the goodness, the love, the positive of the word of the Lord. I'm just going to feast on that. It's incredible how your mind changes, and even the negative scenarios, God starts giving you insight where you can help some of the people that are in those negative areas.
Absolutely.
Instead of just, you know, it's a comfort to a degree. If you come up to someone that's just gone through something tragic and you say, you know, I understand, and you can talk about your problems and, you know, I get it and we're so sorry and, you know, they feel your love, but that doesn't necessarily change them. But if you can bring a word of insight that says, look to God in this way, look at the word of the Lord in this scenario, and their spirit and their mind is elevated beyond that problem. You pull them out of the pit instead of jumping in and having lunch or dinner with them there. That's a lot better.
Or shoving them into the
you're right around the edge. It is a horrible thing. You know, God, let's go fight this thing. That's never going to change it. But the word says when we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, to do what? To prove the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. Only if your heart and your mind is set on it. The whole point is, this is the greatest season of our lives. Let's take advantage of the greatness of God and see how much different that world becomes. How elevated God can take us to a different place, maybe even change that whole world all around and make it look like something incredible. This is the day God has made.
It makes me think of, you know, all throughout the Old Testament, when God pronounced some kind of judgment on a people, like the people who had the true heart of God were actually the ones not going, yeah, they were the ones going, God, you know, Abraham at Sodom and Gomorrah, if there are, you know, 100 righteous people, if there's 10 righteous people, if there's 5 righteous people, would you spare this? Moses, when they were caught sinning, Caleb to God after they destroyed Jericho and people stole the stuff that they weren't supposed to steal out of the city, and it was like they got to be punished. And so, well, what if there was, you know, 5 righteous people, 2, you know, and it was like the heart of it was always like in the midst of people doing wrong, it was the people that would stand up and say, but God, would you protect them? Instead of how we sometimes are, is like, God, no, punish them. And you brought up the woman caught in adultery and Jesus not condemning her. And what always struck me, what was so fascinating about that is beyond just not condemning her, he actually first defended her against the people that were wanting to throw the stones. He put his own life and reputation on the line for this sinner. It wasn't in dispute that she did it wrong. And it was only in the midst of that of I'm going to protect you from everyone who wants to rail against you. And in doing that, then he earned the right to speak into her life and being able to say, go and sin no more. Yeah. And it wasn't just about that sin. He didn't say, don't go be an adulterer anymore. It was go and sin no more. So there's more sin in anyone's life than the one thing anyways.
Right.
And yes. What if we became, instead of the people like scolding the world, we became that came along the people that everyone wants to yell at and scream at and says how wrong they are, which they might very well be. And again, there's a fine line. I mean, there's real evil going on in the world, but the people that are just the people that we go, you know, that we try to find things wrong with, you know, and we came alongside of that. We were their defenders, their protectors. And in that, they met Jesus in a way that then transformed their lives to become just like him.
Well, it never is empowering if you tell someone how wrong they are because they feel like that's who they are.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
God said, I created you for my purpose and for my pleasure. So when we stand in the gap and we say there's something far more about you than you yourself are aware of, but God knows, like he did with the woman. I know there's more about you.
Yeah.
You're fearfully, wonderfully made. You don't know it. And the more condemning we are, I mean, the worse, you know, it's throwing, again, gas on the fire. I mean, how many times I've ministered most of my, well, all of my adult life from the time I was just entering teenage life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you experience it in the church world, someone doing something that someone thinks they shouldn't. And instead of the church doing the Jesus and the woman caught in the act of adultery and loving her, into the knowledge of who she could be and what she could be free from. They're so quick to go and say, hey, we need to pray for so-and-so because, you know, they were doing this, or they said that. And what you're really saying is, I want to gossip, but here's a really churchy way for me to do it and still feel like I'm justifying what I'm doing. I just thought we should pray. No, you pray, and then you love that person, and you become a light that they want to get involved in. You know, show the love that makes the difference, and stop condemning people, because even if they are wrong, start pointing your finger in the right direction. Stop pointing at the accident and point down the road. The way we're supposed to go, straight and narrow is that way. Christ is the way. There's a scripture here I want to read, and I think we're probably coming to the close, and it says, and Jesus said, I am the way. And this is when Thomas is saying, you know, Lord, how can we go where you're going? We don't know the way. And people are like, they're going the wrong way. They don't, you know, we need to, and then what happens is you end up with a split in the church, or you end up with people leaving or getting upset because someone spewed poison instead of bringing him water, water of life, they gave him the poison of death, and they did it in a covert way, trying to really, you know, it's about, where is your heart? If you're condemning them for what you think they did wrong, are you doing any different? And that was what Jesus was saying. Listen, you want to condemn her? Have you done any different? Can you justify yourself? I can justify her, but you can't.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to be. Listen, I needed to be justified at some point in my life, too. And if I walk from the justifier's perspective, am I not thinking and talking like God? And isn't that what the church is supposed to be about? And so he says, we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And then he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. So we're only going to be the answer when we come through the nature of who Christ is, the way he thinks, the way he talks. And you know what? We can do that. We can do that by the nature of our design. He created us for his purpose and for his pleasure. We were and we are created. And this is the greatest day of our lives.
And you know what? That when you take on that mindset, suddenly there is hope for the world. You know, when I look at the world sometimes, and it's like, man, how is it? Should my kids even have kids? Like, what is this world they're going to inherit? But you know, especially over this last season of time, the way God's been speaking and sharing has given me a greater. My hope's always been in Him, but not that things could actually change in the world. And you know what? I think they can. I think the kingdom of God is expanding, and that he's reaching out and touching hearts in a way, and that if we will embrace this, we can really help make that manifest.
Such hope for a world we've never even known. Yeah. God is ruler. The word says he rules over the circle of the earth. Remember, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell in it. God's hand is over the circle of the earth. And if we would just do what he said, love like he loves, you can think like God thinks, because the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, ask God, fill me with your Spirit, fill me with your truth, fill me with your love. I want to look through the lens that you look through when you saved me, and that's what I think. I want to look through the lens you look through when you saved me, because I didn't have anything to do about it. Didn't even know what salvation was, really didn't know. God can get through to the hardest cases. He can transform the most vile and sinful lives, and he can even make the church think right.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we get so religiously connected to what we can do and how we think, and how, think like God. You can do that. Let this mind of Christ be in you. The world he's given us, he called blessed, and he hasn't changed his mind. He's the same. He said, I don't change. So his perspective, his purpose, his plan has not changed. You have the power to take this world that looks like such a messed up world, and I can hear people, yeah, well, it is. Well, what are we going to do about it? You know, we're going to stand back and scream at the accident, or are you going to go down the road so people that can make a difference come down the road, make a difference, and you can go where you need to go to make a difference? You're going to create another accident. Let's be part of the answer, not part of the problem. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the hour. This is a day God has made. Believe in your heart. This is the greatest season of your life, and guess what? You'll find it to be so. Steve, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, that was one of my favorite discussions we've had.
You know, it just, I hear all the time. It just seems like it can't get better and better. You know, I think we just keep seeing how great God is from different angles, and every day is like, greatest season of our lives. Thank you so much, Steve. Until next time, God bless. And remember, keep pulling on heaven 24/7. God bless you. See you next time.